there, everybody, and welcome to our next episode of Guys Who Law. I'm Jesse Weber.
I'm Andrew Esbrook.
And we have a big show for you today. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. Andrew and I have a lot of topics to talk about. But before we start, our very good producer, Amanda Fine, made a great point for us. She said that you should probably put in a disclaimer how this is, our podcasts are not really legal advice, which is probably something we should have done at the beginning. So this is a retroactive disclaimer. We're not giving legal advice. We're giving our opinions. You can choose to follow it or not.
Yeah, we're just talking about legal topics here, shooting the shit. But no legal advice is being
given. Don't follow us. We don't know what we're talking about. This goes retroactive. I actually would like to use this, I think, in my whole life. Can I retroactive this for any time I've given advice?
I wish I could do that.
Yeah, just don't listen to me at all. I don't know what I'm talking about, but that's okay. All right, Andrew, should we start with our first? Should we give a preview of what we're talking about today?
Yeah, and just to kind of give some background, I was talking to Jesse earlier this week and saying that we should try to do any topic besides something to do with the Supreme Court, just because we've done that the last couple weeks, and the Supreme Court is everywhere in the news now. They're kind of PR whores recently.
They really are. I feel like it was never about the Supreme Court, and now it's constantly about the Supreme Court. And the reason we're talking about that is because, I don't know if you know, but a new candidate to the Supreme Court was just thrown out there. Brett Kavanaugh, we have to talk about that, his nomination proceeding. And what does this mean really to you? That's the question we ask here on the podcast. How does all of these stories affect your life? Does it? And I'll tell you right now, it does affect your life. But then we have some other things that we're talking about later on today.
So our second topic, we're going to take a little bit of a turn and talk about some interesting cannabis, marijuana, pot, whatever you like to call it, laws, and get into the details of that. And then we're going to introduce a new segment called the Craziest Crime Stories of the Week. I wish we had a jingle for that. We need to make a jingle.
Yeah.
Craziest Crime Stories of the Week. Whoa, that's crazy.
Okay, I think we have it right
there.
And then
that's going to be our last segment. So let's start with the Supreme Court stuff, I guess.
I can't even get that out of my mind. I loved it so much. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. So Brett Kavanaugh was just nominated by the President of the United States the other day to be the new Supreme Court justice that will replace Justice Kennedy, who retired. Which, by the way, I think I mentioned this on our last episode. Giving up a job as a justice seems like a really bad idea. What a perk. You get so many perks.
Yeah, I mean, he's an older guy, so I kind of get why he would retire, but I was wondering, like, should he have waited till after the election, or should he have done it before? But this guy was a swing judge, so he probably didn't care.
He's no RBG. She's never leaving the court.
No, RBG would have waited until her last dying breath to leave the court.
Exactly. But now he's going to go out and get tuna salad at the deli like everybody else? He had, like, I think their own swimming pool and everything. They had so many perks as Supreme Court justices.
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot of pressure to be a Supreme Court justice. Like, you are deciding issues that affect everyone on a daily basis. So,
well, that's what we want to talk about. So Brett Kavanaugh, young guy, I think he's 53 years old, quite the pedigree from Ivy League, worked. He was actually a clerk for Kennedy. And I have to think that when Kennedy met with Trump, he probably recommended him to Trump. And you know, Trump loves a good recommendation.
I bet he was already on Trump's list for like the last 2 years.
Probably.
Like Gorsuch was number one. And then this guy came after.
Well, that whole process to make a list of who should be a judge is a really, complicated process, you know, with background checks and recommendations and things like that. Now he went down to four candidates. He picked Kavanaugh. This guy has a really impressive background. I think he authored 300 opinions. From my perspective, that's the kind of justice I would want. Somebody that's has a lot of experience. He's on the D.C. Circuit Court, which is I think the second most powerful court in the nation. That's the one you want to get from. But obviously, you can't have a nominee without some controversy. And that's really what we're talking about, because Kennedy was a swing justice, meaning when there was a split between the court, he would decide one way or another, sometimes left, sometimes right. Now, with the ultra conservative choice of Kavanaugh, or he's a pretty conservative right judge, you believe that the court will turn more right, especially when you got Gorsuch on, who's extremely right. This is causing a lot of worry out there. And I'll tell you what, in our podcast, it's causing a lot of worry for millennials. And there's really a lot of issues here about why they're nervous. But let's talk about the one that we have to talk about, Roe v. Wade. That's what it is.
So this is the one that everybody's freaking out about. There's been protests that are going on around the country. People think that because a right-wing conservative is being nominated to the Supreme Court, that Roe v. Wade is automatically going to be overturned. So the first thing I'll say just on this issue is that even if Roe v. Wade was overturned, it would be on a state-by-state basis whether you could perform abortions in the state. Because it was a state issue in the past, and then we got Roe v. Wade, and federally you could do abortions now. So whether it's going to be overturned or not is a different issue, but if it ever came to that, it would be a state-by-state decision on what each state does in terms of abortion.
Right, and some would maybe – there's like some states that say if it gets overturned, Roe v. Wade, they're going to ban it immediately. And then there's some who said, well, regulate it. The real thing is you would wait for Congress to make a law that said abortion's illegal across the board. And then but again, that's a lot of ifs. The problem is, though, if you think about it, if it does get overturned, it's going to be chaos. People are going to be traveling to other states to get abortions. We don't want Roe v. Wade overturned. We do not want this.
So basically – what people are talking about is like they're looking into Kavanaugh's entire history, his judicial history, what he said publicly, everything. And honestly, so far he hasn't spoken directly about if he would overturn Roe v. Wade or not, except in a decision he touched on it a little bit.
Well, he did make a comment that I think when he was getting appointed to maybe D.C., I'm not 100% in the circuit, I'm not 100% sure which circuit it was or what court, he said, I would follow Roe v. Wade, its precedent, and I would follow it faithfully. At the same time, he made a speech, I think maybe a year ago, where he said he actually applauded the dissent in Roe v. Wade and applauded that idea, which the dissent said, hey, abortion's not really a constitutional right. He also said on a separate topic that he is not so keen, or he's not so strictly going to follow precedent, meaning he might overturn Supreme Court decisions. He wasn't actually talking about Roe v. Wade specifically there, but it gives people concern. And obviously, I get the concern. You know, you have a new judge here. He's appointed by Trump. He's conservative. I get it. But just to take a step back here, It is so tough to overturn Roe v. Wade. You first need a state to create some obstacle to an abortion. There has to be a lawsuit. It has to make its way all through the court system. And if it can finally get to the Supreme Court and they have to make a decision one way or another if they're going to take the case, who says they're even going to decide it on a grounds to overturn Roe v. Wade? Did we not cover the Kate case here? The court doesn't want to do these overwhelming, drastic decisions. They're going to try to do it as narrowly as possible.
Some states already have laws in effect that make it very difficult to get abortions in certain situations. So cases like that come to the Supreme Court, and it's not a matter of whether we're overturning Roe v. Wade. It's a matter of whether that limitation is legal. So some people are saying that what could happen is that stronger limitations in states could be upheld, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Roe v. Wade itself is being overturned. They're just putting stricter limitations in certain states that say that, for example, you can't have an abortion after the first, 3 weeks of your pregnancy or something like that, which would be a stricter law than some other states.
First of all, we don't even know which way he would vote if this actually came down to it based upon a specific case. He could very well swing to the left on an issue.
Yeah, I mean, my feeling is when you're a Supreme Court justice, you feel the weight of that position, and that your main job is to execute the law and interpret the law and not to make law. So even though many of these justices have views on abortion, some are pro-life, some are pro-choice, a lot of them respect precedent in that, in this scenario, Roe v. Wade has been considered a privacy issue for the last two decades. There's been decisions that have upheld it numerous times, and it has become very strong precedent. So besides what they think about that decision, that it's been upheld so much, might be enough for some conservative judges to say, I'm not messing with that. That's the precedent. That's the law of the land. Let me focus more on maybe state-by-state limitations instead of that.
And it's easy for them to say, hey, listen, I'm just going to follow what the law was before, as opposed to a politician who's asked outright, what are your views about abortion? What are your views about gay rights? Because they have to say what they believe, and otherwise they're not going to get elected. Here's a judge who's like, you know what? I'm going to follow the law. Done. Right. Let me take a step back. But this guy knows what the elephant is in the room. What the elephant in the room is. During his speech, how many times did he mention women when Trump nominated him? He went and gave a speech in front of his family, in front of the world. How many times did he mention women? Women this, women that, women this, women that. He's making that little underhanded comment. I got you. I'm not gonna touch that issue.
I mean, it's gonna be interesting to hear his confirmation hearings, and they're gonna ask him that question directly. What would you do in a scenario when this case came to you, with such and such example case that it would involve a Roe v. Wade question? How would you decide on it?
You mentioned it earlier. He had that case. There was a case that came down while he was a judge in the circuit court where there was a pregnant teenager in immigration custody. The majority of the court said she was entitled to have an abortion, and he dissented. That is definitely going to come up in his confirmation
hearing. So just to clarify, though, in his dissent, he said that he agreed that Roe v. Wade was precedent, but disagreed. And that's the facts of the case were basically that an immigrant wanted an abortion, and it got to the court because she was denied the abortion, et cetera. And he agreed that she should be denied the abortion, but did not agree that, you know, Roe v. Wade shouldn't be precedent. So it's a case that involved Roe v. Wade and abortion, but there's going to be other cases to come in the pipeline that are different.
They're going
to
ask him that. And all this confirmation proceeding, by the way, everybody's saying, yeah, he's going to get confirmed. It's all going to be good.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. What's the likelihood? Yeah.
All it takes is two Republican senators to be like, wait a sec, I don't trust this guy on abortion. I'm going to go the other way. He won't get confirmed. Because, again, we're waiting to see what's going to happen with John McCain. He's very sad. He's sick. It's not clear if he's going to vote. If he doesn't cast a vote, then there's a strong possibility that if you have a defection, this might be Trump's nominee is not going to get through.
So how it works, and correct me if I'm wrong, there are 100 senators in the United States.
Wait, civics lesson one more time. Yeah, that's right, 100.
They are 2+2, but carry the whatever. Yeah. To confirm a Supreme Court nominee, you need a majority. In the past, the opposing party could hold it off and do a filibuster, then they needed 60 votes.
They needed 60.
But recently, McConnell passed a law through Congress that you can no longer filibuster. So now you just need a simple majority. You need 51.
Right.
And the guy gets through. So right now, there are 51 Republicans in the Senate.
Right.
So there's a good likelihood that Kavanaugh is going to be confirmed. Like Jesse said, if McCain defects, that's 50-50. Usually if it's 50-50, the vice president is the tiebreaker. Mike Pence is a Republican.
Which way is he going to vote?
Hey, he's definitely anti-abortion.
Him? what are you talking about?
So
and he loves gay people, too.
Yeah, so I mean, I think, though, that Republicans are going to be very hesitant to not confirm him because midterm elections are coming up, and they don't want to screw with their
election. What about the Democrats that are in states that went to Trump in the election? They're in a really uncomfortable position because if they don't vote in favor of Trump's candidate and they go back to their state, their state that voted for Trump, you think that that state is going to reelect them in the midterm elections? Maybe not.
Probably not. I mean, I honestly think the whole reason why we're at this point now is because the Democrats didn't show up to vote. It's their fault. If they had wanted their own Supreme Court judge, they would have came out to vote for the 2016 election. Sorry, I'm losing track of my dates. and we would have got Merrick Garland through.
Yeah. Wow. That was a whole other mess.
Yeah. So let's talk about that for one second because I find that interesting.
Okay.
And then we can go on to some of the other issues that Kavanaugh is, you know, might or may not cause. But when Obama nominated Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court when Justice Scalia died, Mitch McConnell, who's a Republican, basically said that was totally inappropriate to nominate a Supreme Court judge before there's an election. In this scenario, they are trying to do the exact same thing. They are nominating a Supreme Court judge right before an election. And Democrats are saying that, and they're having a fit.
Of course.
And what I have to say to that is cry me a river. Like,
really?
What did you, like, expect them to say? Like, you say arguments that help your cause, but when they don't help your cause, you don't say them.
Isn't that politics?
Yeah, it's
politics.
Isn't
that politics?
Yeah.
Double standards?
They each have to say that, but, like,
so frustrating.
Obviously, that's what happens.
That's what we do here. We cut through all the BS. Yeah. But this is my point right here. Do you think it's wrong to prejudge him? You know, I was looking at, I would say, what, 20 minutes after he was named as the nominee, Bernie Sanders out there with a huge protest, all young people going out and saying he's going to take away every right that you have, every right. That could be true, but it could also not be true. You think it's wrong? I mean, I feel like a lot of times young people, we want to grasp onto something. We love to protest. And I love the idea that young people are active. You know, we're not just on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram every 5 seconds, but we want to be active and try and do something in certain issues. But to run right out into a protest and go crazy against this guy when you didn't even know his name a week ago, what do you think?
I mean, I think, what else are they going to do? Like, they're not just going to sit there quietly and be like, oh, let's let a conservative judge who has lifetime tenure go to the court.
And he's young, 53.
Yeah, he's going to be there for a while.
Yeah.
So what else are they going to do? They're exaggerating certain things. Like, you know, it's like an apocalypse is about to happen, which I don't necessarily think... we don't know what's going to happen yet. So he's more conservative than Kennedy for sure. But, you know, on the Roe v. Wade thing and on, you know, the other big question is whether he, you know, believes in prosecuting a sitting president while he's in office. I think that's been exaggerated entirely.
Well, you do? Oh, okay. Well, let's take a step back here. So, yeah, we could talk about how Kavanaugh has gone against climate change and issues that really matter to people, especially young people.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. This guy has made rulings and statements where he likes the idea of presidential power, privilege, and even thinks the president should be immune from criminal and civil lawsuits. So I'm wondering what is happening right now with the president.
This is my understanding of it. He believes that the president should be immune from criminal prosecution while he's president. But we have another process that we put into action when the president does something wrong. It's called impeachment. So if the president ever did something wrong, he would be impeached, and then I would think Justice Kavanaugh would agree that then he could be criminally prosecuted.
Maybe, but maybe not. He also says, look, the president's a busy guy. You know, we don't want to weigh him down with these legal matters. That's kind of the way I'm going. So I would think, you don't think that this is a little curious on the part of Trump? President Trump nominates a guy who believes that the president should be protected when he's already under investigation by Mueller. I'm no expert, but that timing seems awfully suspicious to me.
The thing to me that makes me not as worried about this is this is the Justice Department's opinion too. They have the same exact outlook as Kavanaugh. It's not a new opinion. I know it sounds like it's crazy, but they put out a memo in 2000 that said it would be improper to prosecute a sitting president and that charges should wait for if and when the Senate votes to remove them following impeachment.
Right.
So,
I'll tell you this right now. He's not getting impeached. He's not getting impeached. It's not going to happen.
So if he's not impeached, then he's not going to be criminally prosecuted.
But it's a good strategy on President Trump. I'll tell you that much. To invite to do this. It's also, I think, if that's really what he did, it's completely unethical.
It's completely improper. It's also a good strategy on Democrats to you know, look at that issue. I think it is something that he stands out a lot. But in reality, like, that's what it's not just Kavanaugh's belief. The Justice Department typically follows that belief as well.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of things you could go after this guy about, his decisions, this, that. But my favorite, when I was looking at this, you know what liberals have been going after him with?
About the tickets? Is that what you're looking at?
Well, I don't know about the tickets. I know about his name.
Oh, Brett.
They said his name, Brett Kavanaugh, is very fratty.
Frat boy Brett.
Frat boy Brett. They said, so there's an organization called NARAL. They said, well, I'll be damned if we're going to let 5 men, including some frat boy named Brett, strip us of our hard-won bodily autonomy and reproductive rights. It's a pro-choice organization.
It's definitely not a typical Supreme Court justice name. I can just like see them right now in their Supreme Court circles. They're like, hey, Brett. What's up, Brett?
You write that opinion yet? No, I came up with some Supreme Court names that I think would be much better. For example, if I was going to the Supreme Court, I would change my name. Tell me what you think.
Jesse is definitely a Supreme Court frat boy.
No, you don't want it. I'm not even getting into the House with that name. That's awful. Thaddeus McMillan. No, wait. Okay. Marston Powers. That's a good one.
That's pretty Friday.
No. These are good Supreme Court names. I thought about this one. You need always like a fourth or a third in your name. Langford Sanders the Fourth. You can hear me reading a decision like that. Oh, this one's good. Kendall Springfellow.
I like that.
I thought three names might be good if I was a Supreme Court justice. Warren. You need a Warren. Warren Sylvester Connors.
Oh, Sylvester, that's a strong name.
Yeah, and then finally, Kim Kardashian. Do you like that one?
It's very professional.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, those were the names that I came up with. I don't... do you have any?
I was thinking that, like, you know, like... Chad Smith would be the ultimate name for a Supreme Court.
That's
judge.
Like such a and the descent from Chad Smith.
Just as Chad.
Just as Chad.
Now Brad's gonna chime in.
What was the thing with the tickets?
Oh, so this is sort of interesting. You know, they go through all the Supreme Court nominees' finances. So
yeah,
reportedly he had $60,000 to $200,000 in debt for buying Washington Nationals tickets.
That's actually pretty funny, though.
But what he said is that he was buying them and selling them to friends. Like, he was getting, I guess, a bunch of season tickets and then giving them to people. But it's funny that, like, he spent that much money and got himself into debt for Washington Nationals tickets. At least do it for a good team like the Yankees.
At least he's loyal. I guess that's the way to look at it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's going to go nowhere, the finance thing, but I thought it was an interesting fun fact.
So I guess we just have to wait and see what happens with him, but I guess we should do what we do every week when we talk about a topic. We got to rate it 1 to 10, how much it affects your life.
Yeah.
10 being the most, 1 being nothing. Let's go check it out.
Let's do it.
All right. Okay.
All right. Why don't you go first?
I'm going to go with a 9. The only reason I didn't go with a 10 is because, look, 9, whatever decisions he ultimately helps craft will affect the majority of the United States, but he hasn't done anything yet, and he's not even nominated, and he hasn't even been confirmed yet.
So we're pretty close on this one. I went 8.8.
Okay.
And
whoa. Sorry.
I like using the decimal system very professionally.
Clearly.
But my belief is that, like, choosing a Supreme Court justice is one of the most important things in electing a president or, you know, a political official. And even when Trump was running for president, that I thought that was the number one issue. Who's going to be putting people on the Supreme Court? Mm-hmm. Because that's lifetime. All the other stuff, that's like 4 or 8 years.
Right.
And then it can change.
All these executive orders can be overturned. That he keeps signing every 5 seconds, that can be overturned by an ex-president.
Yeah.
Or even Congress.
But unless a justice dies or retires like Kennedy, they're there forever.
So. I guess we also have to think about the fact that if, unfortunately, and I hate to say it, RBG, she's 85 years old, he leaves the court in some way, another conservative justice will be put up there, and that's a game changer.
Yeah, I mean, she's doing her push-ups and
she looks great.
She can, but,
she's awesome. I'm going to see her movie coming out.
I think it's out already.
No, she has another movie.
Oh, really?
Felicity Jones is playing her, and Armie Hammer's playing her husband, she's guesting in the movie.
Oh, because there was a documentary that came out about her, but
that's RBG.
Okay.
Clearly, I know a ton about cinema history for...
You're just a big fan.
Huge fan.
Yeah.
All right, next topic?
So, taking a little swing, and our next topic is going to be about pot laws. And
clearly a good transition.
Yeah. You know... These days, people are much more liberal about marijuana pot than they used to be. And some states have legalized it recreationally. Some states have legalized it for medical purposes. And in other states, it's still legal, or some states it's decriminalized. So even if you have it, like, you're not going to get charged for it. But we wanted to put together a few interesting questions that you might or not or may not know about marijuana laws. So we're just going to go through them.
You're going to ask me the questions?
I'm going to ask Jesse the questions, see what he thinks about it.
You didn't tell me these beforehand, just to let everybody know, so I don't know what they are.
This is a blind question. So,
okay.
First question.
Okay.
Can you still be fired for flunking a drug test if marijuana is legal in your state for your job?
Yes. Am I right?
The answer is maybe. It depends on the state.
I didn't know there were maybes in this pop quiz.
In the law, there's always maybes.
So why is it a maybe if it's legal in your state?
It depends on how it's legal, first of all.
Okay.
If it's medical, a lot of states protect that, obviously. Like, someone is using marijuana to ease their pain or for seizures, there's protections within, it has to be written in the law that they can't fire them.
What about to be on a podcast, to host a podcast?
To relieve anxiety for okay. a podcast. Don't think that would be covered.
All right.
Recreationally, though, like if it's legal at recreationally, there are not many protections for that.
So, okay, makes sense.
So in those states, which is actually surprising to me, like in California or, Washington and Colorado, where it's legal recreationally, if your employer has a policy that they don't want people who smoke weed at their company, they can fire you, and there's no retribution for that.
Let's see what happens in 10 years when things change.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the next one?
Can banks invest in marijuana companies?
If they can't, they have to figure out a way that they should.
So this one's interesting, and it's actually pretty clear cut. So marijuana is decided pretty much on a state by state basis. So each state has different laws, but federally it's still an illegal drug.
Right.
And banks are regulated by the federal government.
Oh, so they can't do
it. So a lot of banks don't invest in marijuana companies as a mm-hmm. practice. Like maybe
maybe
they'd be fine, but the federal government hasn't a lot of times prosecuted like different crimes that happen just because it's an issue that the states have been deciding. But
I mean, the amount of money that they would make off of that investment could probably pay for the fines.
Yeah, they just think it's too risky, so I think a lot of them don't. So next question, can you smoke marijuana and drive?
No.
Can you smoke and drive?
No way. No way.
So you're correct. Driving while stoned.
Amanda, our producer, is like, of course you can.
It sounds like she has personal experience.
She's like, wait, you're not supposed to do that?
So driving while stoned is illegal.
Shocker.
But there's no breathalyzer for weed, so it's very hard for them to prove.
Give them munchies and see what happens. Give them like snacks of Skittles.
See how they respond to snacks.
How do you feel about this bag of Skittles?
There are two companies that were created recently for weed breathalyzers called Hound Labs and Cannabix Technologies.
You should invest in them right now.
Seriously, I think that's like actually a really good investment.
Yeah. Disclaimer, or we don't need that?
That's not professional.
This isn't mad money.
Yeah, but that's not advice. That's just our
opinion. We'll talk off the air.
Yeah. Can you smoke pot publicly? And this is a question. We'll go into this after, but answer it first.
I guess it depends where. Right?
No.
You can't smoke it publicly.
Yeah. Oh. Which is interesting because Jesse and I both went to Michigan, and Michigan has this thing called Hash Bash, where
yes,
the entire school smokes publicly on the streets and the park, everything.
Schoolyards.
But
slides.
But I guess the police just turned a blind eye on those days.
The sky turns gray. It's so much in the air.
Yeah. All of Michigan was criminals, basically.
Oh. It would be like if you were to arrest everybody who smoked that day, it would be what's that thing like in the Bible when everyone disappears?
The apocalypse.
Yeah, like it'd be like snap, everyone's gone.
We all going to jail.
Okay, that's interesting. No public. Got it.
If you live in a state where pot's legal, how old do you need to be to purchase? Recreational.
I'd say 21.
Yeah, you're correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should be 18, but okay. Yeah.
And last question, can you transport marijuana from a state where it's legal to another state where it's legal?
No.
That's correct, too.
But I don't know why.
So the reason is because once you're bringing a good, excuse me, across state lines, it falls into interstate commerce, which is a federal issue.
Oh, so even if it's legal in both states, the transporting of it is illegal.
It's like smuggling something across the border.
Now, that's interesting. See, that is really interesting. So you can't fly it, you can't drive it, can't. So that's interesting because I would imagine the marijuana companies that got super excited by the idea of pot being legal, they're probably a little disappointed in the sense like they're probably like, oh, you know what'll be good? We'll get people to come to the state. We'll grow really good weed in California. They'll want to buy a lot of it, take it home to their friends, even in states that's even legal because there's probably better pot in other states than others. But now they can't do that. It's like when my brother wants Jimmy John's. I bring it from, Midwest state.
I love
bring
Jimmy
it back.
John's.
Jimmy John's fantastic.
I do the same. I go to New Jersey and they bring it back here.
Yeah, I went to Miami. I brought, I didn't get him a tuna sandwich because that's not going to last. But I got him the chicken, like the turkey, the totally.
The Italian nightclub. That's
turkey
the best
tom.
One.
Turkey tom.
That one too, yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure they're really super upset that they can't get people to do that then.
Well, and the other part of it too is a lot of people that are sick that need marijuana to help them.
Yeah.
And can't get it in their home state. They have to go to these other states that where it's legal, but they can't take it back with them. So it's really annoying. They have to basically move and live there.
So what does the TSA do? They just, if they see
this.
If
they find marijuana?
Yeah. What do they do?
Well, that's transporting it to a different
state. Will they arrest you?
Yeah, you're taking a drug across state lines, but a lot of times in airports, what I was reading is it's not really their top priority. They're looking more for weapons.
Right.
So there are dogs that could stiffen out, but like they're really looking for weapons. So I'm sure a lot of people get away with it.
They're turning a blind eye. Basically, they're acting like Beyonce to Jay-Z's Infidelity. They're seeing it and they're just turning a blind eye.
Yeah. Well, also the federal government generally is turning a blind eye too, because federal law trumps state law a lot.
Right.
And in the drug world at least, and they've just decided like not to prosecute on this.
So bottom line is, you can go to those states, smoke as much pot as you want, do whatever you want there, but you can't take it home with you.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So should we rate this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I got to think for this one. Okay. 3 seconds. Okay.
Okay. I give this a 4, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Yeah, it matters a little bit, but also it doesn't, because people are going to smoke pot no matter what, and they are going to take it back to any state that they want. We went to Michigan. Yeah. The stuff people smuggled on spring break and abroad, they would be in jail in Mexican prisons right now. They don't even care, so it's not going to stop anybody from doing anything.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with Jesse and go with a 3.2, and I just always like to show them up.
Yeah.
Even if something's illegal with this kind of thing, like people are going to find a way to do it.
Right.
And even if like they do break the law, you know, at least within states, like the penalties aren't so severe unless you're like trafficking pounds and pounds of marijuana.
Right.
But like in most states, if you have like less than an ounce of marijuana, it's decriminalized. You slap with like a minor fine, like less than $100 or nothing.
So. Or an actual slap on the wrist.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Good topic. Let's move on to our last one of the day.
So this is a new special segment that we're going to be doing, you know, every so often.
Where's the voice?
Crazy crimes of the week. It's crazy. We need to actually create a jingle for that. It's a placeholder.
Okay. So what's this one about?
So this week in the New York City subway, there's a lot of crazy things that happen. A lot of crazy people that come on the train. You know, you never know what's going on. It's kind of entertaining, you know, at times.
There's videos of rats, like, carrying pizza down. There's Pizza Rat. He's a huge celebrity.
I kind of like that. So yeah. He delivered my pizza to me on the subway.
But nothing good happened in this story, right?
No. So basically, there was a guy on the New York City subway. I think he was a homeless guy that was getting in an argument with a passenger, had a metal bat or pole, and swung at him and hit him in the face with a pole right on the subway, and it's on video.
Right. Didn't he get like a fractured skull, a broken eye socket, and I think he's in serious but stable condition.
And I don't think they found the guy who did it yet.
Oh, no. I think they did. They apprehended him and charged him. His name is Giovanni Nevis, 35 years old, of Crown Heights from Brooklyn. I hope that is. Otherwise, I just named a complete innocent person that people are probably going to go towards. But no, I think he was apprehended and charged with first-degree assault.
Yeah, you got to be pretty mad to hit someone in the face with a metal pole. I feel like there's ways to escalate a fight, and that's probably not like the first punch I throw out if I was in an argument with someone.
Well, where did he get the pole from?
I don't know if it was a baseball bat or something else.
I think it might have been a pipe. But did he was? I thought he was angry because the victim didn't speak Spanish. Like he was asking for something and he didn't speak Spanish.
Yeah, well, I watched the video and you couldn't really. There's not really volume. But
who was recording it?
It looked like a passenger on the train. And by the way, if you want to see the video, it's on our Instagram, Guys Who Law. So check it out.
It's the full one. You can see what happens.
Yeah, I mean they cut out like when he's actually hit in the face. Yeah. But like you see what happened for the most part.
What are you supposed to do? I mean, isn't it funny? I mean, not funny, but we always assume people on subways or homeless people that they're dangerous, and then we're told don't prejudge people. That's not fair. But then this happens. It's like, what are you supposed to do? Is there any way he could have prevented this from happening?
I think this was just some sort of freak situation. Like this guy obviously had mental issues.
Yeah.
And he was talking to someone that sparked something in his head and went crazy. So, you know, I guess the best thing to do is, you know, you don't want to ignore in certain situations because, you know, if you feel bad for some of these people, but But yeah, here it didn't turn out for the best.
You know, it's crazy. I think you just, the bottom line for us, especially in our generation, you gotta not be on your phone 24/7, like looking down. You know, the knockout game that happened, what, about a year ago, when people just walking down the street and they get punched in the face. So I remember I was with my brother once and we're walking down and my brother is, can like see things from a mile away. Mm-hmm. He saw a guy getting off of a bus, like watched him through the window, just sensed it. Guy rushes off the bus and takes a swing at me. My brother pushed me aside. The guy was like homeless and crazy and went the other way. Right. But my brother saw that. So I guess wherever you are, maybe don't look at your phone 24/7. Keep your eyes open. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, on the subway these days, everybody's just on their phone or looking somewhere else. And
have you seen fights on the subway like that?
I haven't seen fights myself, but there are always random people who come on the subway and, you know, give speeches, yell at other people, or...
Usually it's entertaining.
Yeah. I mean, there's been some videos that have come out of, like, celebrities, like, sticking up for people on the subway.
But the person who videotaped this didn't intervene. Like, they saw something to videotape it, and they didn't.
Well, they probably didn't expect that he was going to hit him with a bat. He just saw that argument.
What would you have done? Would you have intervened?
Yeah, I would have.
You would have?
I would have liked to think I would have, yeah.
She's like, oh, my stop. I don't know. All right. I guess let's rate this
one.
Well,
I don't know. Should we rate this? This is like crazy crime story. It's like...
Just crazy crime story?
It's a crazy crime story, yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't happen to you. Ooh, that should be the jingle.
Yeah.
Crazy crime story. Hope it doesn't happen.
We'll produce that next time.
I feel bad because this guy's really injured.
Amanda's on the jingle for next time.
Yeah. All right. Well, we learned a lot today. We covered a lot of topics, and I think we did a good job. We have a lot to talk about for next week.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
All right. See you next time.
Bye.